Good morning, church and friends online. I feel like I was just here, but it's been a couple of months, but time does go by fast. It is a joy and honor to be worshiping in person and online with you today. We are in a series that just kicked off called Remarkable, and the series is meant to focus on ordinary things, routines or spiritual practices, events, even people, just ordinary things that bring something remarkable to our lives. And last week we heard about Jesus' baptism in Matthew chapter 3. If you were to read on into chapter 4 of Matthew, immediately following that baptism, Jesus heads into the desert for 40 days of solitude, fasting, and prayer as he prepared to begin his ministry. Well, that's just one example of many that we have from the Gospels of Jesus going off to solitary places. He went off at the beginning of his ministry, as we've heard here in Matthew chapter 4. He also did it at the very end of his ministry when he went into the garden, as recorded in Matthew 26, where Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." So he started and ended his ministry in places of solitude, taking time to be with his Father. And we may have just glimpses of Jesus' habits and personal spiritual practices from the Gospels, but I know that what we do have is intentional. It's written in scriptures for us to see and learn from. There are other examples in Luke where we hear in chapter 5 that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. And in Luke 6, there was a specific day that Jesus went out to the mountainside to pray, and he spent the night praying to God. He provides many examples to us of how he preached, how he studied scripture, how he performed good deeds, how he participated in a religious community, how he worshiped his Father in public. And even though Jesus and God are one, Jesus still went to solitary places to be with him, to be with his Father privately. And because Jesus did this, we are shown this is an important practice to live intimately with God. I look at it like this. Just living with someone isn't really enough to make a relationship meaningful, is it? Just living with somebody doesn't bring intimacy into a relationship. It's a practice of making time, setting aside time to be with a person that deepens a relationship. Jesus shows us that even though he was one with God, that wasn't enough. He went regularly to solitary places to be alone with his Father. He made time. He set aside time to be with God. And in this way, their time together was sacred and intimate. And Jesus certainly was and is devoted to God. Now, if devoted is an adjective best described as being characterized by loyalty. But Jesus also spent time in devotion to his Father. And devotion is more of a noun, meaning an act of private worship. It's a spiritual practice other than the regular communal worship of a congregation like we're experiencing here. So when Christians speak of daily devotions, we're describing a personal time, typically each day or at least some regular frequency, set apart to be with God through prayer, meditation, solitude, and scripture study and reflection. So when researching the difference between devoted and devotions, I came across kind of this funny quote in the dictionary that uses both words so that we can understand. And it goes like this. The preacher was devoted to Christ, but often fell asleep during devotions. Okay, I admit it, I have fallen asleep during my devotion time, but most days I'm wide awake with a soul that's yearning to connect to my Creator. It is Jesus who tells us in Matthew 22, when the Pharisees asked him, "What is the greatest commandment?" This is one many of you are familiar with. He replied, "To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." So our daily devotions are a form of living out this commandment. We don't retreat from life's busyness and bustle as an end in itself. To sit quietly alone with God isn't the achievement, but it's an instrument. It's an opportunity to open our lives and souls to God, from whom we were made. It's an opportunity to know God and enjoy Him, to love Him with all our heart, soul, and mind means spending time with God, quiet, unhurried time. To enter into this time with hope, with expectancy of encountering a living God, a loving God. So daily devotion is a spiritual practice that helps us live out a faith in Christ that's real and intimate and active. It really is an ordinary routine with just extraordinary possibilities. It's difficult to explain these possibilities, maybe if you haven't quite experienced them yourself, but I've picked three examples from my life where daily devotion has impacted my life in remarkable ways. And my devotions vary between studying scripture or singing songs, being in prayer, being in solitude, or some mixture of those. So my first example relates to the scripture reading for today that was read by Jim and Roger moments ago. It was the final eight verses of Psalm 119. Now this psalm is the longest chapter in the Bible, with 176 verses, and is written as an acrostic poem. So the verses of each stanza begin with the same letter of each of the Hebrew alphabet. There are 22 stanzas and equal to 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, with eight verses each for a total of 176, the longest in the Bible. This one has important themes that focus on the truth and the necessity of God's word and His character. It's your little Bible lesson for today. So when I studied this psalm in various Bible translations over a period of daily devotions, I felt drawn to making a list on paper. On one side, I wrote the header of God, and the other side, the header of me. And I reread that psalm over and over again. And I recorded qualities of God on the left and of me on the right. And words under God included things like provides, rescues, invigorates, seeks, teaches, steadies, promises, counsels, saves, listens. And the list under me included cry, praise, sing, yearn, wander, request, recognize, chosen. So just a small act of study and reflection of these eight verses opened my heart to understand a greater depth of who God is and who I am in relationship to God. I wander and God rescues. I cry and God comforts. I request and God listens. I yearn, God invigorates. I praise and God promises. I stumble and God steadies. This is just one example of many where my daily devotion that's specifically centered on Scripture has transformed my relationship with the living God by bringing clarity and understanding and appreciation of God's sovereignty and my preciousness to Him. My second example, where my daily devotion has impacted my life in remarkable ways, relates to the hymn, In the Garden, which we are going to sing today. I know it's one of your favorites for many of you. It is for me too. Now, I didn't grow up as a young teenager in church, so I was not regularly exposed to hymns. So my first memory of In the Garden was as a young adult at my grandma's funeral. And I recall vividly how those lyrics, as I sang them that day, brought forth the feelings I had about my relationship with her and the joy that we shared together. And it wasn't until many years later that I came to understand that I could have that kind of relationship with Christ. Now it's one of the few songs I keep in a playlist on my phone, and I play it sometimes during my devotion time. And this hymn depicts a picture of the joy we share with God when we spend time with Him, especially while we tarry before God. T-A-R-R-Y, tarry. It isn't really a word we use today. Can you think of the last time you heard someone use the word tarry other than singing this hymn? So what is tarry? Tarry, in the song, the definition of tarry is to linger in expectation or to abide, wait, or stay in or at a place. As I was thinking about that, I'm thinking we don't use that word very often, because we don't act that way very often. It's an uncommon practice in our world today to linger in expectation. We don't like waiting, do we? We pick the shortest line in the checkout lane, right, at the grocery store. Or when we do have to wait at the doctor's office, we multitask, we make our to-do list, we get on social media, we send texts to people, we check the news. So tarry is more than the physical act of waiting or staying still. At its core, it's meant to describe the state of our souls. Tarrying before the Lord involves quieting our hearts, praying about our concerns, meditating on His word, and expectantly listening for God's voice. Jesus told us in John 10:27 and many other places that my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. So we learn to distinguish the voice of the Lord from other voices by spending time with God. So when we saturate our minds and our spirit with God's word through worship and earnest prayer, God's voice becomes more and more recognizable. So when I hear in the garden, I close my eyes and I easily envision my grandma's house. I know the floor plan and the details like the wallpaper. I didn't even live in that house as a child, and I haven't set foot in it for over 30 years. It doesn't even exist anymore. So why do I know it so well? It's because I spent time there with people I loved and people who loved me. I created memories with these people. I engaged in that home. I baked banana bread in the kitchen with my grandma, and I hid in the coat closet with my cousins. I played cards with my grandpa on the porch. I laughed and I cried and I felt safe and loved. To experience this kind of intimacy with God also takes time spent with Him in solitude and prayer and in His word. Laughing and crying, taking in the details, not of the wallpaper, but of the words and example given to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. So daily devotions are a way to tarry with God, creating space to experience His great love, or as the psalmist says, for God to show Himself. It's a way to make memories together, memories like I'm sharing with you today. Now, sometimes in my devotions, I close my eyes and I create a vision that embodies the intimacy I have or want to have with Christ. Sitting on a bench in a garden is a favorite choice, especially while I'm listening to In the Garden. But in these days of winter, I might picture Jesus in my home resting in front of the fireplace, for example, and me there next to Him, a place where I often do my devotions. And if my mind starts to wander to my to-do list or to the work that's before me that day, I recall the story of Martha and Mary in Luke chapter 10. Martha and Mary are sisters that Jesus visited, and while Martha focused on her responsibilities as a hostess, Mary sat at Jesus' feet. And when Martha complained to Jesus about this, Jesus responded, "Martha, you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken from her." You see what's happening here? Mary was tarrying before the Lord. The remarkable result of singing in the garden all these years is coming to the understanding that the garden is not a physical location, it's a state of being. Coming to the garden is choosing to push aside all the distractions and center on God, who He is, and who my relationship is with Him. My third example about daily devotions impacting my life in remarkable ways is rooted in prayer. And I call this story The Three Owls. So many years ago, I set out on a walk around a loop, a 1.5-mile gravel road that circles a peninsula at the lake where we spend a lot of time in the summer. It's a loop I've walked often, but on this particular day, I set out with an intentional mindset of being in prayer. I was going to do a walking devotion this day, seeking God's presence in the creation around me. I kept my mind focused on God, praying, expressing gratitude for all the creation around me, and asking for God's guidance upon my life as I walked. After one of the bends in the loop, I encountered three owls standing in the middle of the road. I stopped in my tracks out of surprise and outright awe. Never before had I encountered one single owl on this loop, let alone three standing there in broad daylight. I stopped and I stared and I waited. I think you could say I tarried before the owls. I took a few steps closer and I was able to get near enough to look into their wise eyes and feel a connection. Time stood still. And it's hard to describe, but in that moment, I felt seen. I felt complete. I felt endless. And I don't know if it lasted 1 minute or 10 minutes, but eventually the three owls simultaneously arose and flew into the nearby woods. I lost sight of them, but I could hear them hooting for a little while longer. And I continued on my walk, perhaps with a little more joy in my step and a little more contentment in my heart. And even though this happened years ago, I have never seen an owl on that loop since then. But I don't need to see those owls again, because this ordinary moment brought about in an act of daily devotion created a memory, made a remarkable impact on my life. Now, of course, it's not every day that I have transformative wow experience of three owls in my path during my devotions. Actually, most days, it's not like that. And yet, the more I rest in stillness with God, the more I praise God, the more I tarry before God, the more of God's peace I bring back into my own life after I've spent this time with Him. It doesn't matter if it's 5 minutes or 15 minutes or 50 minutes. It doesn't matter if it's on a park bench or in a parked car or walking in the woods. Quiet time alone with God is always time well spent. Coming to the garden pleases God, nourishes our souls, and equips us for both daily and eternal life. And I'd call that remarkable. Would you pray with me? Almighty Father, Psalm 119 reminds us that in the garden we find you, the God of truth who provides and rescues, invigorates and teaches, listens and loves. We long to return this love to you, but often stumble through our busy and hurried lives with such impatience, we miss out on the opportunity to tarry with you. Draw us near, O God, show us the way to your loving embrace, found only in the silent depths of our souls. Amen.